guys, and welcome to season three of the LeaderQuest podcast. So excited that you could join us this season. This season, we are profiling businesses hit by the COVID economy. So located within this next season are business owners, our business leaders, invested in local communities, traversing the world through the COVID economy. I hope that you are blessed. I hope that you can grow from it. And I hope that you are encouraged to keep pressing on. And if you know of a story or would like to share your own story, reach out to me, Justin at justinhebert.com. I would love to profile you and share your story with the world. And hey, welcome everybody to this episode of the LeaderQuest podcast. I'm joined today by Tim McNeely, and I have just found through doing this, nobody cares about my introductions. They listen to me to hear from other people. And so this is Tim. I'm going to let Tim, I actually want you to tell us what you do. You know better than anybody. Give us your core demographic of who you're serving in the world and what you're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. So super excited to be here with you today, Justin. And, you know, my core audience is really driven entrepreneurs, driven business owners. And so often as driven business owners, we're unsure, you're unsure if you're making the right choices to grow, scale, and maximize your personal wealth outside your business. Well, that's what I do is I help driven entrepreneurs build and maximize their net worth so they can build amazing lives of significance. And in the process, do three things really well. Take care of the people you love, support the causes you care about, really make that impact in the world.
That's great. And I hear that in your voice, but more than that, Tim and I, you and I have known each other for almost a year now. We first met at a networking event, and I will never forget. I was so amazed at you. I don't know that I've shared the story with you, but you and I are meeting. We're meeting in that little underground basement pool area, and I asked you what you did, and you ended by saying, "I want to be the best, and I want to work with the best." And as a driven person myself, I'm like, I like it. And so you have just formed your identity around those driven entrepreneurs. And it's not just a tagline for you. It's really something that you are, that your quest to be better includes pulling other people along in that. And so I'm really thankful, really excited to have you on. I think you're going to give a lot of wisdom here. It's actually, since you mentioned entrepreneurs, before we dive into the questions, I just read a report came out from a banking company called Aslo that they did a pandemic report. And the sheer amount of people trying to start a business right now is almost astronomical. This is a banking industry saying we weren't prepared for the number of people wanting to start a business right now. And so I think your wisdom, your perspective is really going to help bless a lot of people because entrepreneurship is strong and it's thriving and it's growing. And the research coming out of this study is saying, and people won't go back to their regular jobs. So I think you really have an excellent chance to bless some people today. So with that, thank you again, Tim, for joining us. We'll continue to let your expertise speak, but I want to dive into these questions, and I've kind of primed you for them off camera. But the first one is, because none of us saw 2020 coming in the way that it has, how has your business had to pivot in the last 6 to 9 months?
Right. Well, what a great question. This is something so many of your listeners are probably struggling with too, is right. How do you change? How do you reinvent yourself? And, you know, I've been fortunate in the sense of my core advice and the need for guidance. That hasn't gone away. In fact, that's grown exponentially. And, you know, so the ability to deliver advice, that is what's changing, is how do I deliver? How do I connect? How do I reach people? And I like to joke, back in October, I'm big on setting goals, right? You got to set goals. And so my October goal, right, before COVID, is I just wanted to do 30% of my meetings online. That was it, just 30%. Justin, I am proud to announce I have crushed that goal. Yes, I'm at 100%, man. Now, it had nothing to do with me, right? But everything to do with the environment, which brings me to another fun little point. It's, you know, by an author I love, Ben Harding, and his book is Willpower Doesn't Work, right? Didn't take willpower for me to reach that goal. It was the external environment that helped push me into that. So really the number one way that my business has had to pivot and change is really connecting with people, you know, digitally and over Zoom and other meeting platforms to build that personal connection. Because so much of what I do is building and getting to know people and trying to figure out, well, what does that look like in a digital realm? How do you meet someone and build deep connection, even though you're standing behind a camera? So that's been the biggest pivot challenge that I've been working through.
Yeah, excellent. And I think that's a great point. And I mentioned that Aslow study, Tim, I can send it to you if you haven't seen it. I'll link it in the show notes. But they raise an important point in this study, and that is the sheer amount of people that are starting. Of course, many of them have to do it online, right? I can't open a brick and mortar store right now. And so just as a follow-up, you've crushed that 30% goal. How have you managed to maintain that without Zoom fatigue setting in?
Yeah, great question. So some of the transition I've really enjoyed, right? My ability to be, you know, really effective and efficient has just gone through the roof. And you get on Zoom meetings and all of a sudden you're really focused, you're right into it, right? There's less chit chat. And as a driven person who wants to accomplish things and work with others who have very things they want to accomplish, I love that focus. Mm-hmm. But yet at the same time, it's absolutely exhausting, right? Imagine, right? You're jumping from meeting to meeting to meeting. Now there's no downtime in your car as you're driving from meeting to meeting. There's no chance to stop at a Starbucks on the way and grab a tea or coffee and refresh. So the energy required to do this, it's just, it takes so much more. And so I've had to really work on recreating my environment in terms of, when do I take breaks? How do I take breaks? Right? When do I work? When don't I work? Right? What are the days I'm working on my business? What are the days I'm working in my business? And so really working on structuring the days and recreating that has become more important than ever. And I'm a big framework, and I know you are too, of our friend Michael Hyatt, right? And really thinking in terms of your days. And you've got a front stage day, which is the days you're interacting with clients, right? Those are the activities that you're making money. Then you've got a backstage day, right? Those are the days that you're preparing for your business. You're working on it, not in it. And then the most important day of all is your offstage days, right? Your days for rest and recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent. And I know that has been a helpful framework for me. I've had to lead numerous clients through it, especially those that were, and I hate this term, but it's the one we all understand, right? Essential, like those essential businesses, those essential clients that I had, man, all of a sudden every day became on stage, right? Because they were the only game in town where people could go. And that has been a really hard transition for them. And it's thrown their goals and their plans into 2020 in chaos. And so I like that you mentioned your goals. You mentioned that you crushed one, and that was the online meetings. Quickly, what are some of your other goals that you've either had to adapt or in surprising ways met because of what's going on in the economy around us?
Yeah, good question. So the other goals I set are really goals in terms of connecting with the right people and being involved in the right organizations and finding like-minded people. And that's been harder to do, right? Because now you can't be out in the community. And so, you know, the way I've adopted and adapted to that strategy is Facebook is actually fantastic, right? If you're not in politics, which you shouldn't be, don't get on Facebook and debate politics or post cat photos. That's not the proper use for you and Facebook. The proper way to use social media is there are so many groups that are devoted to specific businesses and entrepreneurship. Or in my case, I work with a lot of dentists, right? There are these amazing groups with amazing conversations going on and people sharing and helping and encouraging one another and dealing with the struggles together. There are groups all over the place on Facebook full of the people you're looking for. And so for me, that's been one of the biggest changes I've made is now I'm doing networking online, right? I'm going in these groups. I'm engaging with people, making friends, finding connections. And so that's been a big shift. And it's part of what I want to continue doing because I like that a lot better, right? I like not having to travel as much. I like being able to connect with people and do a lot of digital coffees and get to know people. So that to me is going to be more of a permanent part of my business is how do I take more of it online? How do I connect with more people digitally? How do I serve them in a digital space?
what for you have been some of those maybe temporary changes that as the economy opens back up are what are you excited to get back into? And what are some of those permanent changes to your business that you're like, hey, I didn't know I needed this, but I'm so thankful I'm going to continue this long into the future.
Yeah. So, you know, really the thing that I'm looking forward to again is the travel, but less of it, right? Like you, right? We started off saying this would be so much more fun if you and I were sitting at a coffee shop together, right? Being able to look at each other, enjoy each other's company. But this is what we've got right now. So I'm looking forward to being able to reconnect with people, right? In you know, away from the keyboard, right? That's what I'm looking forward to. But at the same time, less of it and actually doing it in a way that's going to be more impactful. And so as I think about, you know, how do I start reconnecting with people as the world opens back up, right? A lot of my meeting formats are going to be group events, right? They're going to be me with my clients, right? In groups and not so much of the one-on-one, right? Really looking at a one-to-many instead of a one-to-one because you can get scale that way. Mm-hmm. The other part that I'm absolutely going to keep is more of the digital. But once again, going back to what we were talking about, kind of that ideal week is it's got to be structured in a way where, you know what, these are the days I'm on Zoom. These are the days I am meeting with people. And then these are my protected days where I'm just not going to do that. Because if I want to continue to serve my clients at the highest level possible, I've got to make sure my head's in the game. I've got to make sure I'm rested, I'm recovered, mm-hmm. and I'm ready to give all that I have.
Yeah, excellent. And I like that idea. I'm a big fan of the calendar. You and I initially bonded over the Full Focus Planner. Great tool that I use every single day and feel lost if I don't, right? So this idea of the structured calendar, right? One of my pet peeves, and I won't even go to it here, but one of my pet peeves is I've started to see people talk about, hey, the most wasted purchase of 2020 was a day planner. And I'm like, y'all, I couldn't have survived 2020 without a day planner. Mm-hmm. And so in your work and in your work with your clients, how are you walking through this idea of the structured calendar to be that high achieving, success oriented entrepreneur?
Yeah, right. That's interesting, right? And I would argue the people who think that the planner was a waste of time, they're absolutely correct. But the ones who say this was the greatest thing ever, they're correct also, right? It's all about your mindset. What are you trying to get out of it? And if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a business owner, if you're someone where you're in control of your day, you've got to control your day and not let the day control you. Mm-hmm. And so we start really talking about, you know, how do you use the calendar? And the way I use it with my clients is, right, the very end of my process, right, once someone's become onboarded, once they're a client, we have regular progress meetings. And we call them regular progress meetings on purpose because they're set times so that we can continue to work through things together. Because most business owners, you're going to get really busy and you may talk about something. You may say, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. Let's do it. And then you take off, you go run your life, you get back involved in your business, your life, your family, and you never do that important thing that you were supposed to do. Well, that's why those regular progress meetings are so important, is because they continue to resurface all the core challenges, all the core issues that you want to make progress on. And by keeping them front and center on the calendar, right, scheduling time for something, it eventually gets done, as opposed to putting it on a to-do list somewhere that disappears and dies. I hate to-do lists. That's like the death yard, right? That's the graveyard of all your great ideas is a to-do list. Whereas your calendar, that's where work gets done.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And, you know, as I'm taking notes here, the word that I wrote down as a part of that is accountability, right? Part of the service you provide others is accountability. It's part of the service I provide. I can go into that backstory of how I've just come to see that that is an important part. But as the entrepreneur, right, you're the business owner of the company. And if they hire you, you can serve as their accountability partner in a sense. But for you personally, what does accountability look like for you? How do you hold yourself to those regular progress reports to check in and make sure, am I still doing the things that matter the most in terms of my own business and my own life?
Yeah. So the number one way that I keep accountability on myself is through good friendships with my peers, right? That is beyond a doubt the most valuable part of my week. On Monday, I'm doing a half an hour phone call with one of my peers. On Wednesday, I'm doing a half an hour phone call with one of my peers. And on Friday, I've got another half an hour phone call. So I'm dedicating an hour and a half every single week. And those phone calls are really simple. And this is something you can do too, right? Find someone in your industry or someone you want to be accountable with. Reach out to them and say, here's what I'm working on. Do you want to be a part of this? And these meetings are really simple. The first 15 minutes is the other person sharing, here's what I'm working on. Here's what I'm struggling with. And here's what I want to get done between now and the next time we talk. And the next 15 minutes, same question back on you. What's working? What are you struggling with? What do you want to get done by the next time we talk? And they become these incredible meetings where you're working collaboratively with other people, holding each other accountable. And some of the other things that have come out of these are project-based works with someone, right? If you're on the phone with people in your own industry, well, guess what? They're going to share a lot of the same challenges and struggles that you have. And so the current project I'm literally working on with a peer is we realized our proposal process could use improvement, right? Proposals are just, sometimes they're too wordy. They're not clear enough. They don't actually tell the person across the table what problem you solve. So we're working together now and we're building proposals together, like short little, and we're using the Story Brand Framework, Business Made Simple, another great resource for people to check out, but we're just working through the class together. And that's something you can do too, right? Find a peer, find an online class. There's so many online classes of everything that you could ever want. Hold yourself accountable, find a peer and do that. Because once again, if I had to do it on my own, I wouldn't do it. But if I know I'm talking to my buddy on Monday for half an hour, you bet I'm going to get something done.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And you seem to imply this, but maybe just for clarity's sake, for you at least, it sounds like those peer groups happen particularly in your niche. Have you looked at, or do you have some outside of your niche, or have you looked at, look going outside your niche, or do you have any of those personally and professionally? Walk us through how you came to those three Monday, Wednesday, Friday groups.
Yeah, those have actually come directly out of a mastermind group that I'm involved in called CEG Worldwide. It's about 250 just elite financial advisors who are at the top of their game. And so that peer coaching has come directly out of that mastermind. And I find that that's been really valuable because we're all kind of on that same path. Now, at the same token, I certainly listen to other sources. I want to absorb information from other non-niche specific sources, but really having someone in your niche who's traveling that same path with you is so much more powerful. And I'll give you kind of an example of why niching down, I think, it is so important. Is, years ago, I would serve anyone, right? I'd work with anyone, any industry, didn't matter. And I was all over the place because every time I got a new client, I had to relearn the entire industry. Well, now all of a sudden, I'm working with business owners, dentists, entrepreneurs, right? Really, really laser focused. And COVID hits. All of a sudden, you know what? A lot of the same programs that were out there were available for dentists and business owners, right? They were very specific. So I only had to learn the government programs one or two times and the different sources. And now I was able to go back to my niche and serve them at a much, much higher level because they were all I was dealing with. That's all I had to know. So I could go really, really deep on really specific subjects instead of going broad over across the whole lot of things. And so that's why, as you're considering peer coaching or finding someone to connect with, right, having someone in your industry, in your niche, who's at least focused on the same things as you are is going to be even more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned that just before we hopped on our call, I was doing some writing on that. That's one of the biggest problems I see is if you're struggling as a business right now, my read on it is personally, it's because you haven't niched down enough. Like the businesses are, just because we're in this COVID economy doesn't mean people have stopped having needs, right? People still need to eat. People still need to sleep. People still need to exercise. People are still looking to make meaningful connections and go deeper in their relationships. And so if you're struggling right now as a business, I get the sense, and my take of it is, then you probably need to niche down some more. And so through your own story, tell us how you did that, right? I think it's fairly common coach's journey, because I would echo that. When I started coaching, I can coach anybody and everybody. Then you get that first bad client and you're like, I can, but I don't want to, right? And we all start this niche down journey. And so if that's the problem, if my business is struggling right now and I need to niche down some more, you're telling me to niche down. Walk us through briefly your journey of how you niche down and how that can help those that are listening to the program.
Yeah, well, like any good story, Justin, mine starts with falling in love. And yeah. I met and fell in love with a dentist. And I didn't have a niche at that point. I really didn't know what problem I solved. And so met and fell in love with my wife, who happened to have another boyfriend as we were dating. It was called her dental practice. And we'd be out to dinner or on date night, right, having a good time together. And all of a sudden, this other boyfriend would invade our lives. And I'd hear things from my wife, like, I got to hold back my paycheck to make payroll, or I've got to get some new patients and I just don't know what I'm going to do with the business, or I've got to fire someone. If I don't do it right, I'm going to have to be calling the attorney. Massive source of stress. And once again, I didn't know what problem I really solved, right? I didn't know what I really did. I thought it was my job to manage an investment portfolio. Didn't tell well I could manage those investments. It wasn't going to move the needle for my wife and make an impact for her. And you may be listening to this today and you're not quite sure what problem you solve either, right? You may not be sure what issues your niche has. And so I really started to study, right? What do the super rich do, right? People with net worth in excess of $500 million, right? How do the best of the best move the needle? And that's where I really started to get into understanding. It's about problem solving. Know what problem you solve. And so I started to solve some of those problems for my wife, right? And I had to assemble the right team of people. I had to grow as a person, right? I had to acquire skills I had no idea I needed. But by doing that, by working on solving her problem, then I realized, oh, you know what? There's a whole bunch of people with these same problems. This is my niche. This is what I'm actually passionate about, because I'm making a difference for someone. And I wasn't in a job I hated anymore, right? I was making an impact, right? And that passion comes alive. And so niching down, figuring out what problem you solve as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, it's going to make your quality of life so much better, because now you're going to be making an impact and having a difference for someone. And right, and if you're selling smoothies or running a supply company for auto parts, no matter what you're doing, if you can tie that back into your why and your purpose, you're going to have much greater impact, right? If you're selling smoothies, you're not just selling smoothies. Maybe you're selling a lifestyle and greater health so that people can take care of their families better, right? Find out what your true mission is and get connected with that, and you're going to have more of an impact than you've ever imagined.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Tim. Hey, we've got just a couple of minutes left here, and I'm wrapping up. This will be season 3 of the podcast when it all comes out, and we're tackling specifically issues of this COVID economy and how businesses have had to shift and pivot. And so part of my hope, my encouragement, my goal for this season on the podcast is to remind business owners that despite what you may feel, you're not alone. And so just with the last couple of minutes, I've got a few of the easy softball questions I want to give you. But this last one, right, speak to the business owners that are listening. Tim, you personally, in your business, what's one question you have? What's one challenge you're currently facing that you could just give voice to let other business owners know that, hey, they're not alone and other people are struggling as well?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Justin, more than anything, and as I actually start to reflect on this right now, I'm getting emotional, because the thing I have felt more than anything through this crisis is I'm tired, man. I am tired. The sprint has turned into a marathon.
Yeah.
And I'm exhausted, right? There is fatigue, there is tiredness, there is a weariness to the journey right now. And many of you listening to this, you may be feeling that too, right? Just that tiredness, that exhaustion, the feeling of spinning your wheels, but feeling like you're really not pushing forward. And I think a lot of you may be experiencing that. And what I have to do to get through that, to really push through that, is what another great business coach, Dan Sullivan, teaches and talks so much about. And that's, you got to look at your gains, not the gaps. And if you're a driven entrepreneur, you're going to be looking at all the things you didn't get done. You're going to be really good at telling me the 1,000 things you didn't get done, but you won't be able to tell me the 100 things you did that were really awesome that drove your business forward. Yeah. And so through that weariness, through that tiredness, right, I'm having to work on rest, recovery, but more importantly is practicing gratitude and really being grateful for what's here. And then also focusing on the gains that I'm making and not the gaps. Because the gaps right now, I think, are apparent to everyone. And we're seeing all the things we want to do, but we can't. And so if you focus on those gains, if you focus on gratitude, that at least has been helping with the weariness. Because, man, I'm tired.
Yeah. Oh, man, Tim, you cut me deep on that one. Like, I just last night had a conversation with my wife. And she's like, how was your day? And I said, I had this big, long checklist. And there was one thing I didn't get done. Well, how many things were on your checklist? Oh, there was 20. But I didn't get one of them finished. So you cut me deep. That one hurt. I get it. So thank you for that word. What a beautiful thing. Why don't you give us your contact information? I want people to be able to follow up with you. I'm sure you have raised more questions and people are like, yeah, hey, can Tim help me? So how can people best get in touch and follow up with you? Where can we follow you online? Tell us what you're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm real easy to find. You can go to LinkedIn and type in Tim McNeely. I'm right there. I'll pop up. You can follow the videos and posts that I do. You can find me on Facebook. If you're a dentist, you can join our private community called Dentalpreneur Advisors, where we work with dentists who own more than one practices, helping them grow, scale, maximize their net worth. But like I said, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, talk to me. I'd be happy to help and serve you in any way possible.
Excellent. Great. Thank you, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us today on the LeaderQuest podcast. Really appreciated having you online. Enjoyed our conversation, even if it was through Zoom and not in person. We will get back to that, guys. And I hope that you can continue to stay the course, continue to stay encouraged, listen to Tim's words. Look for your gains and not your gaps. Tim, thank you so much.
Hey, you're very welcome. And if you're listening, get out there, focus on those gains, not the gaps, and you're going to make it. An incredible day.
So what did you think of our interview with Tim McNeely? Go ahead and leave a comment below. Be sure to subscribe to the LeaderQuest podcast and tune in to our next episode.